Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on Christian Sentinel Radio, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. And that's the network of our sister Jackie Alnor, who's our guest today. Also, I wanted to remind you about our YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio. And I've been having a lot of fun learning how to make my videos more presentable, and so hopefully we'll get some more content out there in the weeks ahead. I was thinking about doing a show called Interview with Jesus, sitting down with Jesus and asking him questions about the false teachers. Wouldn't that be interesting? What would Jesus say? And also, we have our book, our two books, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God, and Paula White, Heretic in the White House. Thank God she's no longer there. The miracle-selling huckster who became the spiritual advisor to the world's most powerful man. That might have something to do with the downfall. I imagine it probably did. So those things are out there for you, and then we have our website, propheticnews.com, and all those things are out there for your enjoyment. We're coming up to 800,000 listeners over the lifetime of our program, so I'm grateful for that God does have people out there that are interested in our content and are interested in knowing what's going on and how to stay strong in the Lord, because we are in some wild days. There's so much chaos going on all around us, but we know that the New World Order, they're saying, is order out of chaos. And so we see that. Let's bring Jackie on. Hi, Jackie.
Greetings, Susan, and everyone listening.
Yes. All our listeners around the world. We do have listeners in the United Kingdom and Canada, Australia, South Africa. That's the main part in the United States. But then there's many other countries where we have a small listenership according to the stats that Blog Talk Radio has. So we're grateful for that God has given us a voice, because we see, especially, we were talking about the mega churches, and did the coronavirus have an effect on the bodies in the pews? And of course it did that. And I think they probably were hurting for a while, but I know you just sent me this article. So you can tell the people about that.
Yes, well, it seems like the coronavirus this past year, with everybody having to stay home, has affected where people go to church online, because their local pastors have tried to do their little streaming services on their Facebook pages, or they go on YouTube, but they don't attract the listeners the way the mega churches do, because this article is, let's see, what's the name of it? It's called Mega Church Monopolies, How COVID is amassing data among a few churches. So they're just showing that the listeners have at some of these mega churches, some very well-known ones, of course, including Joel Osteen, have like doubled in listenership, because they have all the bells and whistles, because they've got the money to do that. you know, and so I'm sure that some of these, the trend now that they're saying is people are now just giving up the local churches and sticking with the entertainers, pretty much. Let's see, how does this, the lead starts?
Who's got the best deal going, too?
Yes, yes. And, here's the lead of the story. On the first Sunday morning of lockdown, I asked my 61-year-old mom, which church do you want to join? My mom and I are Christians in Thailand. Let's church hop online, she said. Can you suggest an international one we can try? I opened Craig Groeschel's service at Life Church, and all six members of our family joined together. We have watched Life Church every Sunday since. And anyway, these are the guys with the big ones. Now, you know, the big churches and the big budgets that can really entertain people. And I'm not that familiar with Craig Groeschel, but from looking at his webpage, I was looking at that this morning. He's a lot, in my opinion, from what I can see, he seems to be like Ed Young Jr., who also, because he's one of these that he's handsome and, you know, wears his tight shirts on his strong muscles, and he, you know, he can entertain the masses, and he has all the satellite churches. And so, in fact, there's a map on Life Church's webpage showing all of the different satellite churches all over the states of Oklahoma and then down into Texas.
Oh.
And so, because certainly these megachurch pastors are celebrities and they're entertainers, and they're more entertaining to the average, you know, air quotes, Christian viewer than their own local pastors would be.
Yeah.
And of course, they all do the Hillsong music, and Hillsong, again, is one of those that's in there as well. You know, Brian Houston's what would you call that? A conglomeration of churches. And
a big conglomeration.
Yes, and they're known for their free, you know, I wouldn't say free grace, cheap grace, you know, sin all the more that grace may abound type of behaviors in their, in their personal lives.
Yeah, well, that's why they have all those scandals, too.
Right,
scandal
right.
Scandal after scandal.
Yes, and so, but this is what the masses are going to. But then again, that's another sign of the times, that people would turn their ears away from hearing the truth and would go after what their itching ears want to hear. And there's a lot of itching ears out there, and there's money to be made. And, you know, the scary thing about this article was, let me scroll down, see if I can find that part. There's a section here called, Will Mega Churches Become Monopolies? And it says, in the end, mega churches may have more in common with tech giants like Facebook or Google than they do with your local congregation. Consider what they share in common. And I hadn't thought about this with these mega churches, with these huge online, you know, things. Before I even read this, speaking of mega churches, I play this game when I'm watching TV or I'm bored, and it's an online little matchup game, which is really cute, but it breaks in with an ad. After you play for 5 minutes, it breaks in with an ad. And I'm kind of addicted. While I'm watching TV, I monitor a lot of YouTube channels. And while I'm doing that, I'm playing this game. And I am interrupted by two mega church guys. It's really fast. You have to go by the clock and match up these cute little pictures. Anyway, I get interrupted by Joel Osteen and Jensen Franklin. I see these guys. They interrupt me all the time, and I just put it on mute until it goes back to my game. but you see, they're getting in on all of
Well, they buy in the ads, right?
Oh. It's unbelievable. I can't play a game without seeing Joel Osteen. Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, and you know what he's advertising?
They're doing that on Facebook now. They're putting ads up on your page from some of these people. But Barry said, they're buying the Facebook ads.
Oh, that's yeah. But now they're even interrupting these little games you play on your phone. And the thing
they want to annoy you all the time.
Yeah, Joel Osteen is promoting his own eight ball questionnaire sort of choose an inspiration thing. Yeah, that little box. That's what the ad is for.
Remember, we used to have those little boxes back in the 80s where you picked out a scripture. Remember those little scripture boxes?
Oh, my husband had one. I never got into that before I met him. Yeah.
He got the idea, though. It's nothing new under the sun.
I know. Okay, but here's what they have.
Bring it back.
Here's what the mega churches have in common with the tech giants. It says, holding a ton of data and knowing our habits well.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And the second one is founders and CEOs gaining celebrity statuses. Let's see, the next bullet point is attracting the smartest people to work with them. Oh, yeah, because they have to employ people who really know their tech stuff and the media stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the creepy one, power to shape the future.
Yeah.
Because, that's kind of where we're at today. This new normal that isn't very normal, it's hitting the church too. And yes, they can shape the future. And the future is listening to watching these guys. They're actually a bunch of motivational speakers who really don't exegete the word of God. They just use a verse here and there as an inspirational point for them to jump off and pontificate on their own crazy imaginations. And so here it says, here's the next three bullet points. It says, to personalize it a bit more, the first bullet point, 4 million followers are keen to learn more about Joel Osteen's lifestyle on Instagram. So he has 4 million followers on Instagram.
Yes, 4 million followers. Wow.
Yeah. Then the second bullet point, if you're a very talented musician, would you prefer to serve with the Hillsong worship team or a local church in town? Well, everybody wants the Hillsong.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, let's see the third bullet point. Want to know the future of scripture engagement? Don't ask Worldwide Bible Society. Go ask a product manager at YouVersion. You will hear what hundreds of people will do in the Bible app next quarter. So have you heard of YouVersion?
No, I never heard of it.
Oh, okay. It's some sort of Bible app that leads you and guides you to what you should be looking at, and I guess with their own swing on things. I'm not sure. I'm guessing.
I don't do apps.
That.
So, I'm phone or no.
Yeah. So anyway, so it shows that chart. I was telling you that's what was bizarre is the chart looks at monthly website visitors. This is just monthly. And it starts with Elevation Church and it shows how much it's increased.
That's Stephen Furtick. Yeah.
Yes. Stephen Furtick. Okay, so Elevation Church gets 388,976 listeners a month. Hillsong gets 905,000. Lakewood Church, which is Joel Osteen's, gets 359,000. And Life Church, that's the one with Craig Groeschel, who we're not that familiar with.
Yeah.
He gets 1.6 million listeners a month.
Wow.
Now, I wonder if they have ad revenue coming in from those listeners.
They probably do. Because why do I get on my Facebook page something from that Harfouch lady? I'm not interested in her, and I'm seeing ads from her. Because they probably track the fact that I was doing research on her. Why else would they be putting up an ad?
Yeah, because that's what you did. You searched that on Google, so you're stuck with her now.
Yeah, well, I said hide the ad because I don't want to look at her unless I'm doing research. Because these people are so weird. And
I know, but you and I get the weird ads from the worst of the heretics because we're looking into them, and so therefore we get to be on the receiving end of their ads. And yet, people who are looking at future trends and everything are seeing these guys as getting as big as Facebook and you know, that kind of thing. And that's a really scary thought, that, you know, that the apostasy is that mega now. It's mega apostasy.
Well, it kind of goes along with what the Bible talks about anyway, the great falling away. So you could see that. Joel, I never really listened to Joel Osteen. And then one time, I guess a few months ago, if I was trying to do research on a topic or whatever, I would, but I never really listened to one of his church services. So just one day I said, I'm going to listen just to see. And yeah, the preaching, there wasn't really much preaching. It was that feel good and how great you are and all that. And I was like, well, what's the appeal here? Because I don't get it. It's not really appealing if you're looking for a Bible study or Bible teaching.
Right. And, right.
Yeah.
Because they're it's just a bunch of platitudes and things, you know, and
yeah.
cute little stories and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
Story, yeah.
But it doesn't appeal to anyone who has a hunger for the Word of God and who wants to delve into Scripture and hear what, you know, what the Holy Spirit could be telling the churches. They're not hearing that. And, you know, but if they want to know what the Holy Spirit is telling the churches, you know, open up the third chapter of Revelation and see what the Holy Spirit and the Spirit says to the churches and to the Church of Laodicea. Pay attention to that one.
Well, yeah, and also, I remember one time Dodie Osteen, who's Joel's mother, she said, we don't talk about hell here. We don't talk mm-hmm. about it because we don't want to make anybody feel bad.
That's like Shuler saying we don't mention sin. And I've mentioned it before back in the Crystal Cathedral days, if you sang Amazing Grace, you had to change the words. Who saved a wretch like me, you had to turn it to saved a soul like me.
Yeah. Yeah,
you didn't want to be a wretch.
Well,
and certainly you wouldn't want to be a worm. So any song that talks, it says anything
well,
like
I
that.
Well, I knew I was a wretch.
I know.
I knew I was a wretch. I remember that was the same thing in the Word of Faith days where you had to take that word out because you couldn't say you were a wretch. Well, I knew I was a wretch, so what else can you say? Yeah, so I think, yeah, probably a lot of the little churches and maybe the smaller mega churches, but now people aren't going back to church the way mm-hmm. they're saying that the actual church attendance is down 50%. And so...
And it might remain that way because
yeah.
The world or, you know, the deep state has already put that fear of congregating in groups into the entire planet now has a fear of catching something. And like, because they're always warning us, ooh, the next one's going to be even worse. And what's going to be the next one? And so now people are afraid of getting near to people. It's a divide and conquer method of the devils, you know, to keep people apart and, you know, and so everything,
well,
they want everybody's lives. Your life will be lived online. So where it can be watched and you can be watched. It's surveillance. As a matter of fact, that's what this article was saying, that some of these apps that these mega churches will use will go into surveillance in some of these other apps that follow
well,
who's
yeah,
going
why
where
I don't
and doing
use apps,
what.
Because you don't know what they're doing on your phone or your tablet. Yeah, they do. It's another tracking method, but I'm not totally opposed to people not gathering during pandemics because I know just from my own personal situation and my own experiences, when my father used to go to church and he was elderly in his 80s, and they would hold hands and then they would drink from that communion thing, and he would get every time he went to church, he'd come home sick.
Well, you know what? It is true. You can't. You've got to use some
sense.
Yeah, you've got to
be careful.
Not, And, you know, and not,
and they
you
weren't
don't have
back
to say,
then.
Hug the guy. Remember at church back in the day, they'd say, hug the person next
oh,
to you?
Oh, you had to hug everybody, had to hold. Remember, too, yeah, you
oh,
had
yeah.
to hold everybody.
And they had
hands.
Greeters. And the
yeah.
greeters at the door would hug everybody coming in. I remember I visited this one church my sister was going to, which really wasn't, it was called Eagle's Nest. A
oh,
friend
yeah,
of mine,
I remember. Gary Greenwald?
Gary Greenwald. A friend of mine referred to it as Eagle's Mess. But anyway, at Eagle's Nest, I went there, and there was this kind of a creepy-looking guy. And he was checking out all the chicks and, like, going aisle to aisle. And then, like, and then he zoned in on one and went to sat next to her because he had to hug the person next to you. And so
yeah,
he
I
sat
know.
Next to this bosom beauty over there.
I remember.
Yeah, you know, I called it at
lift
the time.
Lift your hands in the air. You have yeah. your hands in the air for 15 minutes. I'm like, my hand is tired already. What is this? And you'd be afraid to put your hand down because you were embarrassed.
Oh I yes. But this guy, I was telling my sister at the time, I said, what is that? Cop a feel for Jesus. You know,
well,
that's what they were doing.
That people would come and make sure that they got to hold your hand or whatever. So I know, and I know, too, that somebody coughed on me one time, and I did get sick from it. So there is something to be said for taking precautions, and especially this thing is a lot different than what we've had
right, I know.
In the
well,
past.
Well, that's true, but on the other hand, it works against fellowship and things
it
like
does.
That.
It does, but
and
I think that
I...
we have to learn how to hear God for ourselves. I think it's good in that respect.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I've always gotten sick every time I've gotten on an airplane.
Yeah.
So, and here they still scrunch people together in the airplanes to make
their
money.
They're doing
and,
it. They're doing it. Yeah, they're doing it. And
yeah,
so
because,
you do have to
yeah.
be careful. And for me, being older, I try to be careful because I don't want to get whatever it is. Just from watching some of the people's comments, friends that have had it and what they've gone through and how they felt and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think you have to be careful. So if people want to congregate, they just have to be polite and have good manners about congregating. Whereas before they didn't, they'd cough all over you and spit all over you and whatever at church. So, now people are more careful. I don't think that if you got into a line at the grocery store and somebody started coughing in back of you, probably run for your life, you know, if they were close to you. So they don't do it so much anymore, where before people were careless. And
so what do you think this is going to do to the impartation services?
Oh,
or how about a Benny
yeah,
Hinn blowing on everybody?
Never. That's never going to happen. Those blowing services are over.
So in a way, that's good,
thank
right?
God.
Put an end to some of that.
Oh, it was terrible. And then, I don't know how much laying on of hands they're doing anymore. I don't think they're doing so much of that anymore. And I know Rodney Howard Brown still does it. And he tells people that, oh, well, if you come here, you won't get sick here. Well, how does he know that? You can't tell somebody that just because they come to your building, you're not gonna get sick. Of course, we can't live in fear all the time, but this is different. Our lives are different now, and we don't know what's coming next. I think that the way things are going and how odd life is for all of us, it's not normal. But
no,
it's like you're
no.
saying, the new normal.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing normal about the new normal.
No, there's nothing normal about it. It's not, our lives are not the same. And even to go to the grocery store, it's a big deal. Just to go grocery shopping, and the way you have to shop, and then the way you treat your things when you get them home, and everything takes more time, especially if you're older and your immune system is weaker, then you're not as strong as when you were younger. You you feel 20 in your head, but you're not in your body.
I know I have to remind my body of that because it wants to rush ahead like it could do what it used to do when I was 30.
Yeah.
And that was a long time ago. That's 30 some years ago. So, yeah. And, you know, it's good, you know, that we have our faculties about us, but at the same time, our bones are more brittle.
Well, yeah, it's true. You it takes longer to get over things where you don't like it, but I think anybody that's experienced getting on in years that you realize, okay, yeah, my head is still saying I'm 20, I feel alive and I feel energetic and all that, but your body does change and it gets old.
I know I can't eat the same kind of foods that I like.
No.
Foods that I like tend to give me indigestion. Or,
that happens.
Yeah.
That
so
happens.
There are changes, but praise the Lord that we can say we're a couple of old women, huh? we both had birthdays recently, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We think about those things.
We've both been saved 40
years this year. Yes.
Yeah. So at least I could say I have some wisdom, and no matter what happens, I'll be able to continue to do what I'm doing because I can do what I'm doing from home. I don't have to travel like I used to travel all the time. And for me, I prefer this kind of thing where I can spend my days doing my research and putting out my material. So I like it, and I know that they watch everything you do on the internet. I'm amazed sometimes that they can find things to put ads up about that. I'm thinking, why are they putting this ad on my page? I never even looked for this thing, but I know you said to me one time, yeah, because they know what your age group is, so they put those things. But anyway. That is, I think that's the new thing, is this whole online churches, and then they want to be entertained, and they're going to be entertained by these so-called worship bands, and then the preachers, which to me, they don't appeal to me at all. But I guess if you could see the trend in the world and what appeals to people that aren't saved, and you say to yourself, why, how can they even think like that? That is the weirdest thinking. But it's all coming to the whole end of things and the whole Antichrist system that's coming. So it's weird. It's a weird time that we're in.
And it's affecting all the churches. I mean, there's, you know, like, look what's going on in the Catholic Church. I think I sent you that clip.
Yeah, we should play
that.
This is interesting. Yeah, that poor guy, Taylor, he's such
a
smart guy, but he's so messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about it. Why don't you play that?
Yeah, I'm going to play this because this is a good clip.
Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano has shocked a lot of people in the last 2 days. He says, the true church is now eclipsed. Rome will lose the faith. And he speaks of an anti-Christic counter-magisterium. Anti-Christic, that is, pertaining to the Antichrist, and a counter-magisterium. Now, you may read these words and ask yourself, how does this fit with Matthew 16? The gates of hell will not prevail over the church. How does it fit with the teaching that we have all received as Catholics, that the Pope is the vicar of Christ, the successor of St. Peter, and he holds the keys to the kingdom of heaven? Whatever he binds on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth is loosed in heaven. How can those things be true, and yet we also say something like, the church is eclipsed? How can we say Rome will lose the faith? And we're going to go over Archbishop Vigano's words in context to see what he really says, especially as it relates to Rome, to the Vatican, the papacy, Pope Francis. Quotations from St. Jerome showing that the Antichrist will indeed set himself up within the church. St. John Chrysostom, another father and doctor of the church, says the same. Then I'll also bring in St. Robert Bellarmine. He'll discuss whether the Antichrist will rule primarily from Rome as a sort of anti-pope, anti-bishop, or will he rule from Jerusalem in a rebuilt temple? That touches on our topic about a false church, an anti-church, and an antichrist. So a parasite infiltrates. The counter-church infiltrates. And so we ask ourselves, well, how can the pope, who is the legal, visible head of the Catholic Church, how could he also carry out an infernal plan? How could that be? Do we believe that every single pope de facto went to heaven? No, it's not really the tradition of the church. If you read Dante's Inferno, you find out real quick that that's not what he believed. It is the belief of the church that popes can go to hell. If that's scandalous to you, again, go back and read about the Renaissance popes. Or there's actually a time period in the Catholic Church called the pornocracy. The pornocracy. This is a time in which there was all kinds of adultery and fornication and mistresses running in and out of the papal palace. Again, God does not assure us that a canonized saint will reach the throne of St. Peter every single time. History proves us that's not the case.
Wow. What an admission coming from a Catholic.
Well, we would have never believed it when we were growing up Catholic because they told us that the Pope was like God on earth. So we never heard anything like that.
No, well, they denied it. They covered it up. We would learn church history in Catholic school and they'd never tell us about, you know, all of these popes that were caught in all kinds of vile things. This was covered up in the Catholic Church until recently. And, you know, because, you know, they can't hide it anymore when you get Google.
Yeah.
Google has kind of brought in a lot of things out of closets, old closets. But, you know, yeah, here another thing. It's just the Catholic Church is being affected as much, if not more so, than the Evangelical Church as far as just the world getting into the church.
Yeah, but another thing is we never heard about the Antichrist when we were Catholics.
Never. No. And all of a sudden, these guys like, you know, Taylor Marshall here and Michael Matt of the Remnant and Michael Voris of the Vortex and, you know, the Church Militant, all of a sudden you've got these Catholic leaders emerging online with huge online following that are trying to expose the what do they call it, the lavender priesthood? You know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
No.
But what do you make of it? Because I think you've probably done more research than me because I haven't heard it that much about them talking about the Antichrist. But what do you make of it?
Yes. Well, they have a bit of a different. See, they'll look at some of the apocalyptic literature out of Daniel and Revelation, but they merge it in with the sayings of like Our Lady of La Salette or Our Lady of Fatima.
Yeah, never heard of her. Never heard of La Salette.
Yeah, and all of those so-called apparitions, all they're doing is expanding on and adding to the end times prophecies. But of course, they've got Mary as the one who's finally going to bring down the Antichrist and bring down the devil, and you know that's why you know they twist that scripture that says that that all things would be under Jesus' feet into being Mary's feet.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, and it's that what's that chap that verse out of Genesis that he would bruise her seed, the seed of the woman would bruise the bruise the heel, but he'll smash your head or something. What is that passage in Genesis?
I know. Anyway,
it's referring
to
Jesus.
I'm going
to
have to look it up. Yeah, referring to Jesus.
It's referring to Jesus, but they say it's referring to Mary. That's not the seed that comes from a woman, but they call Mary. You know, Jesus is said to be the second Adam. There's the first Adam and the second Adam. And so the Catholics have the first Eve and the second Eve. And they say Mary is the new Eve. And so as such, she's going to undo what Eve did, just as Jesus undid what Adam did. I mean, there's no Bible for this. It's because the Catholic Church adds their own speculation and make it dogma.
Yeah.
And so they say that she's the one that crushes the serpent. And not Jesus, who it is referring to as a prophecy about the Savior coming. But
of course, the statues that we looked at had her on top, her under her feet was the serpent in the world.
Right, and that's their dogma of the new Eve. But again...
We didn't hear that.
No. No, but things that, you know, because, here's the thing, my sister has a lot of, she's been in business a long time, so she has a lot of non-believing friends. And one person she's somewhat associated with said to her, wow, everything the Bible says is just happening right before our eyes. I mean, every bit of it is true, and I really am waiting for the Antichrist to come. And she looked at him and said, wow, I didn't know you're a Christian. He goes, I'm not a Christian. But you see, but all of a sudden, people are interested in Bible prophecy. People who, they just care about the prophetic side of things and don't care about committing their life to Jesus or repenting of their sins or any of that. They don't want to hear any of that. But they're fascinated at its accuracy of what we're seeing come about today as far as the signs of the times and the birth pangs and all of that. And seeing, wow, the Bible predicted it. But of course, they'll merge that in with what Nostradamus said or any of the Catholic mystics and stuff.
Yeah, of course, it's been 60 years since I've been a Catholic. I just want to put that in. But it's been a long time. But just from what I remember from being in Catholic school, I don't remember any of that. We never heard about Antichrist.
No, of course, it was 50 years ago that I was a Catholic. Yeah, so, well... The thing is, they didn't speak of it. Now, maybe they did in the higher grades. I didn't go to Catholic high school. I just went through eighth grade. So
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, but I didn't even know Jesus was coming back until after I was, you know, long after I left the Catholic Church and before I got saved. All those 10 intermediary years where I was just partying and thinking I was having fun. And I found that out then. I go, what? I didn't know that. Because I had some friends, a couple of very close friends, that that started going to the Calvary Chapel tent, you know, the tent meetings with Chuck. And they would tell me these things. So that I just got indirectly. And it seemed like, and then some books I read. I read the Salem Kerbin 666. What a silly book.
Yeah.
But boy, that's like.
But I heard of him. Yeah.
I think that's the one I read before I was saved that had me, wow, you know, thinking about it, not knowing I'd never heard that before as a Catholic. And most churches, and here's the thing, they don't like to talk about it. It's not that it's not in their catechism, it's just that it's a negative, and people now really. Amway made this big. It's always, and of course, so did Norman Vincent Peale and some of these positive thinkers, that you don't want to think on negative things. That's why they don't mention hell, as you brought up, because that's negative.
Yeah.
And you want to stay positive, and so that's not negative. Sin is negative. So you if you're supposed to keep your mind on positive things, which the Bible says. That your mind
kind of
should
hard
be.
To do when you're living in the real world.
Well, especially when it comes to truth, because not all truth is positive.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of negative truth.
But you have to be able to accept everything. They don't prepare people for real life, because then when real life hits you, you're saying to yourself, well, maybe I made the wrong confession or something, or I'm not thinking with enough positivity. So I know I had a friend that wasn't saved, and she used to like to go hear Joel Osteen. Oh, I love Joel. Yeah, she used to go to those meetings. But that's it. He appeals to people, because he doesn't tell people that they're sinners or that there's a hell. But that's not really being fair to people to preach that kind of a gospel, because it's not true.
Right. Going back to what Taylor Marshall was saying, can you imagine
Archbishop
Catholics now?
Carlo Maria.
Wait a minute. Okay, sorry.
Can you imagine them now contemplating that the Pope could be, the Antichrist could end up being a Pope? Do you know, when I first got saved and people like Dave Hunt would make those statements, that the Catholics and Catholic apologists like Carl Keating would come down on them so hard, that because they would proclaim loudly, no, the gates of hell will not prevail against the Catholic Church. And
never,
they would,
never,
that was yeah. their apologetic. And now they can't use that anymore.
No. Well, obviously that Francis, he's a total reprobate. So what can you say? He's out there for all the world to see.
Yes.
Like,
so now they have to come up with
that. Yeah, they could hide.
Yeah. They have to come up with a whole new defense of Catholicism. And that's what we just played. The new defense of Catholicism, that it's still the one true church, but it's now eclipsed by some evil presence.
Yeah. Well, it
so
was
it's
always
still
eclipsed.
There. It's just eclipsed.
Yeah, well, it was always eclipsed by an evil presence. But that's the sad part. These men are so intelligent, but they can't see it. And that's very sad. But I know that you did an article recently about Star Wars. Let me play this from that video you sent me about the artificial intelligence.
It leaves only suffering and destruction in its wake. But they are doing their best to control this narrative, and they've got Google on board, they've got Facebook on board, to manage through their algorithms, which undoubtedly incorporate AI, to filter the news that you and I search for, so that they're protecting you. This is what they're saying.
Pete Peterson tells us that many of these ancient extraterrestrial corpses they found out in our solar system from 500,000 years ago had very bizarre metallic trace elements in them, and those metals are only used in the most high-level computer technology that we've ever developed. They never would normally appear in biological life forms, but these ancient corpses are absolutely crawling with these metals. The metals actually have been analyzed, and they now have reason to believe that these beings were infested with nanites. Nanites being little individual machines that do some kind of cloud computing, and together in a larger number, they actually are a supercomputer. And they can utterly take over your body to such an extent that the body is not really human anymore. It's largely machine-oriented, but it has enough biological life to still function in that capacity as well. It appears that George Lucas was tipped off about this. Thus, the Empire in Star Wars appears to actually be about the Mars civilization. The Death Star that he describes in Star Wars are actual moons that we have in our solar system that they found are hollow on the inside and have weapons, including weapons that could kill a planet, which is apparently how the asteroid belt was created. The super Earth was blown up by one of these Death Stars. Then look at Darth Vader. What is Darth Vader? Darth Vader is a man who's had all of his arms and legs cut off, and he is...
Yes, Master.
Breathing like this, the body inside is very damaged and distorted, and it's the machine that's keeping him alive. He's part robot, part machine, and Luke starts to go that way. When his hand hand is cut off, and now he has a robotic hand. These things were apparently put in place to tell us the truth, to hide it out in the open. Star Wars was authorized to give us this information. So did Elon Musk hear about this AI menace? Was he told that the AI is dangerous? And is he so concerned about the Earth being taken over by AI that he's actually trying to build an escape plan for him and a few of his friends to be able to go to Mars, hopefully in neutral territory, so they could get away from this global takeover?
The whole thing was very interesting. I have two other clips I wanted to play, but about this artificial intelligence and how this, I never looked at one thing as Star Wars. I know absolutely nothing about Star Wars, but I thought it was interesting that he brought it in. So how do you see that?
Well, I see that's part of this new, the new normal that's going to be happening. I mean, there's, you know, all kinds of changes made to, I was thinking of the 6 million, the Bionic Woman and the $6 million Man.
Yeah.
The shows we used to watch in the 70s that made people part human and part machine. Iron Man, the movie Iron Man really gets into some of that to make a superhuman merge. And a lot of people have talked about these things, but this thing that I sent to you really showed more practically how that could be implemented and how it's being set up where these, you know, amatrons or whatever you call them could start taking over basic work that the uneducated middle class people might already do. It's to be turned over to machinery, and we're already being adjusted for the government to pay us and to give us a living, you know, to barely get by, so that to keep people out of the workplace, it's part of the climate agenda, so that if people aren't out and about, if they can just stay in their homes and not use engines, you know, fuel. Was it that someone was saying that in 2030 they were going to eliminate combustion engines? And
they're already planning on it.
And so it's like the spirit of the age is trying to manipulate people, as we were saying earlier, to stay in your homes. Now, I know they had a good reason to tell you to stay in your homes, but it's being utilized so that then more people, the government would just give them their rights to a living without working, just to keep you off the streets and not polluting the atmosphere. And so during this pandemic, people were given the stimulus money, this and that, get them used to just living on the dole, as they say in the UK, and keeping them working from home. Actually, so many people who, because of this COVID shutdown, start working from home. It's the trend is to keep them there, to keep them off the road so that they're not polluting the air with all of these gas guzzling engines. And so working more on artificial intelligence is a way to keep from polluting, from pollution. In fact, was it that Biden said he wanted to eliminate beef? No more beef.
One hamburger a month. Yeah, well, please.
Part of it is also wanting to eliminate the population, because the population is, you know, too much for the climate things. You know, you have to ask that little Greta girl how to handle things.
Yes, they're asking her how to raise children, and she barely is a child herself. But I know that as far as keeping people on the dole, of course they've socialized these countries, England, and subsidized people, their housing and their finances and things like that. So here now, I heard on the news the other night that people don't want to go back to work. So the restaurants in Tampa are begging for people. They've got all kinds of incentives to get people to come back, but they don't want to come back because they're getting unemployment until September. Now I saw today, I think, that they want to extend it even further. So, yeah, they want people to stay out of work and mm-hmm. not go to work. But then there was some people saying that they really don't want to go back into the office, that they like being working from home. I know I haven't filled up my gas tank in over 2 months, and I still have half a tank of gas.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
And then all the people who are making $600 a week on unemployment, why should they work for even $15? They want to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. They still do better just sitting at home.
Yeah. Well,
that puts the small businessman out of work, and that's what they want. They want,
well, yeah,
they,
that's
want
what they want
mega.
Yeah.
You've got Amazon. Oh, I hate to admit how much, you know, if I can't find something at the grocery store, I'll order it from Amazon. It'll be at my door the next day.
Yeah, it's there the next day. Yeah.
But you see, that keeps more. The earth is now breathing because of all that. And when you eliminate the fossil fuels, as they refer to them, you're going to stop airplane flights except in very rare occasions because the pollution caused from airplanes. So I don't know how they're going to get us with this kind of population back into more of an agricultural society.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, why are they allowing all of our cities to be burned down and they look the other way? You know, they don't.
Well, that's
a good
question. There's a lot of things that go on that you can't understand. But the Bible does say that there will be a breakdown in law and order and there'll be lawlessness. So we see it. It's selective prosecution. You can commit the same crime as somebody else, but you might not get prosecuted. They might, depending on public opinion or publicity or whatever. So we can see that. I know that when I had some things where I needed help from the authorities, and I was shocked to see how they behaved, as far as like when you're telling them you think somebody's committing a crime and they don't believe you. And so you can see the whole... To me, you can see the whole training is different. The mindset of people that are doing the policing, they're being trained with these psychological techniques and a lot of these new age techniques. So they don't even think the same. You say, well, this person's a stalker. And it goes, and they don't even, it just like flew over their head. So we know as Christians, we know for sure that we better trust God, that we better know God, that we better know his word, because there's so many voices out there. And I thought it was interesting. I'm going to play this clip that in this video, even though this person wasn't saved, he was talking about how
suffering and destruction.
how dangerous it was for all this fake news, and how they were using propaganda to brainwash people. And you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
I can watch the same program and I can see things, and it has nothing to do with what they're telling you that you're seeing. You're looking at it and you're really seeing what's happening, but they're telling you that it's something different. So we see that a lot. But anyway,
social engineering.
Yeah, and they're doing a good job.
But the problem is, they rightly can't see any other option here, right? Because what's happening is that the automation that is upon us, no one can stop this. No one can stop it, all right? Bill Joy, 20 years ago with Sun Microsystems, brought on the alarms. Now we have Elon Musk saying basically the same thing. They're not going to stop it, all right? This train, there's a track, and it's going down this way, and there's nothing that's going to stop that train from getting to the end of it, wherever that destination is. So what that track is taking us to is a world where people are no longer going to be necessary for the economics of society, or at least many people. And what will be done with all of those people, the ones that Henry Kissinger once referred to as useless eaters, is anyone's guess. You've got a lot of people getting a little concerned about this. Will they try to wipe us out? Will they put us into the FEMA camps? Will they simply have us zoning out with minimal welfare on video games and drugs, legal and illegal, getting fat, getting dumb, and just watching reruns of Three's Company for the rest of all time? Your guess is as good as mine. I think that's probably where we're going, a world in which the population is being totally controlled, because they have to be, because otherwise you have a restless population that, God forbid, they start thinking for themselves, which is what they're going to do if you give them the tools. So you have to dumb down the education system. You have to dumb down the food, give them awful nutrition, awful entertainment, awful news, and create basically a virtually fake society, fake world that they're living in, that keeps them just happy enough to keep going into this awful dystopia that they're moving toward, and certainly dumb enough to keep moving along and accepting all this. That's really where we're going.
Now, the thing about this is that this is a fulfillment of the Christian prophecy of the second coming.
All of these wonderful optimists who talk about transhumanism, creating, you know, superhumans, do they honestly think that this is going to be a future for all 7.5 billion of us on planet Earth? Seriously? If they actually believe that, they need to read some good books on political economy and history and maybe psychology and understand just what the human race is. All right? The human race is a small group of rapacious, dominating people at the top who will never, ever voluntarily give up that privilege. Never going to happen. So if anyone is so naive as to think that, oh yes, all of humanity is going to benefit from this immortality, from this super genius, and even if that's a good thing, which probably isn't, right?
I have news for him, though. There is one that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He doesn't see any hope, but someone, Shannon, in the chat was saying, is that Richard Dolan? Do you know that man's name? I don't know who was speaking there in that video.
No, I'm not familiar with them.
I know they did talk about the corpses from the aliens, but it kind of reminded me, with the way they were talking, was it kind of reminded me of this whole Nephilim teaching and the reptiles, that people are reptiles, half reptilian and
Well, science fiction, it's at the point where it's hard to divide between science fiction and Frankensteinian scientific fact.
Yeah, Frankensteinian. That we used to watch that movie Frankenstein, but now they can actually create a Frankenstein.
But look at the whole position of the planet is where people have to know that something's going to give. Something's changing, and some people are going to do better with it than others. You know, there's a verse in Jude that I remember, I think it was Hal Lindsey, had defined it in a way that back then he couldn't have seen the implications of how he was interpreting it. And it's Jude 13, referring to these end times people as raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, he said that raging waves of the sea, that when the Bible in its terminology as far as the book of Revelation goes, you know, there's a lot of symbols. The sea is always interpreted as masses of humanity, as if God was looking down and seeing a mass of humanity that looked like the sea with waves. And so the raging waves of the sea is his looking down at humanity, all in a rage, raging hordes of humanity.
Well,
and
we're seeing raging hordes of humanity.
What I'm seeing everywhere. Yeah. That's what you can't. I mean,
they're raging.
Subscribe on YouTube to RT, which is, you know, Russian television that comes out of Washington, D.C., of all places. But anyway, they show a lot of raw footage of things going on all over the planet, especially since mainstream media here stopped covering international news. So
yeah.
I'll see like little clips that they'll show up of this riot or that riot, this demonstration, that one, everything getting violent. And every single one is a different country. And it's happening in all of the countries.
Yeah.
They're all raging about something. And
yeah,
it is.
Raging.
It's the raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. because that's the shame that the foam, I mean, just the way that this, yeah, wandering stars, that verse says so much in its, the visual that it shows
doesn't
of humanity.
Either to get them to rage. That's the thing that is kind of frightening is the news media, that's what they're instigators for the most part. So it doesn't
mm-hmm.
take much for them to instigate, depending on what cause they want to instigate, depending on what idea they want to put into somebody's head to rage against other people. And so that's what we're seeing. The propaganda, and they pick their subject, and it doesn't take much, just a day or two of propaganda, and they can get people to rage, like you said, they mm-hmm. get them to rage, and not just here, yeah, in many countries, they're raging, and so for a lot of people that don't know the Lord, and imagine them going through this whole pandemic thing, losing their jobs, being stuck at home, trying to educate their children, which they had no clue how to do, and all the things that people have been going through. So then without God, you don't have any hope. And so then, yeah, they're just powder kegs waiting to explode. That's another frightening thing that you see happening. So we have our work cut out for us as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to try to reach people with real Christianity, with real answers, with people that preach the gospel out of a pure heart. Because for the most part, all they see is these crazy preachers on television, and now they're watching them on the internet, and they're probably not looking at the Bible for themselves or opening the Bible. And that's one of the reasons I think the pandemic was a good thing for Christians, because you had to get close to God for yourself, and you couldn't have pastoritis because your pastor wasn't going to be there anymore. You were forced into having your own personal relationship with Jesus and learning how to hear God for yourself. So some people can do that. And mm-hmm. they have, and I think that they have to learn to do that, because the way things are going, who knows how long, okay, they're gonna close up the buildings. They might eventually close up a lot of these buildings and not let people go in. And then they could take control over the internet too.
Right. Then they'd have the mid-church online, where the propaganda can be mixed in and they can control what everybody, what every air quote Christians listen to and watch. That can also be controlled.
Yeah, exactly. Because they have to have, the Antichrist has to have a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So
with a big audience.
Yeah. And you know that's going to happen. And we can see the handwritings on the wall. We can see what's happening. So we have to be prepared. We have to be strong. We have to learn how, if we have to get along by ourselves, of course, we can still have fellowship on the phone. If you can't gather in groups, if you don't want to go out into a group, which for me, I don't. And I try to keep myself as isolated as I can, so I can try to keep myself safe. I don't mind, though, because I can enjoy myself no matter where I'm at and what I'm doing. So, but for some people, it's harder for some people than others. But I think that with the way things are going, we just don't know what's going to happen. Things have changed so rapidly over the past few months for many of us. And like you say, the new normal, and it's not normal. And I don't know if it'll ever get normal, but it's still old-fashioned. It's still the old-fashioned gospel, and it's simple. It's a simple old-fashioned gospel, and there's nothing new under the sun. But let me play this one, Jackie, about the vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is Dr. Tenpenny, and I've heard of her before.
I mean, it's not a vaccine. It's an injection or a shot. We call it a genetic modification technology. And I think it's really important for your viewers to get it straight and to get it right about how this messenger RNA works, because a lot of the mainstream press is saying, oh, you conspiracy theorists, anti-vaccine people are all saying that messenger RNA changes your DNA, and it does not. And guess what? They're right. It doesn't. Because how the process works is you have DNA through an enzyme called reverse transcriptase. It makes a mirror copy of it called messenger RNA, which is what gets injected into your body. That messenger RNA, it goes through a system called the ribosomes and creates a protein. That protein can get reincorporated into your DNA by a process called transfection. So there isn't, so the messenger RNA can indirectly change your DNA, your genetics, but not directly. And I think it's language is important.
Did we lose Susan? Well, that is an important clip, because people who are getting some of these vaccines that we don't know what's in them, it may look fine today and they may feel good, but other things can happen within themselves that puts them at more vulnerability later on down the line. And but I think at this point I'll have to sign off for Susan, since she's been disconnected, and this has happened before. And but it's about time to call the show to an end anyway. So I'll see if I can, when I post this to Christian Sentinel Radio, I'll try to remember to put the links into these clips so that you can see the whole things in their context. And if so, then you can find me, Jackie Alnor, on Facebook, and keep up with those things there, because I think I've posted these things over there anyway. So on that note, you're back on. I was just going to say goodbye.
I know. I was glad that you're... Anyway, we lost the connection, but let me play that clip again.
Okay.
My internet did go out several times today.
I mean, it's not a vaccine. It's an injection or a shot. We call it a genetic modification technology. And I think it's really important for your viewers to get it straight and to get it right about how this messenger RNA works, because a lot of the mainstream press is saying, oh, you conspiracy theorists, anti-vaccine people are all saying that messenger RNA changes your DNA, and it does not. And guess what? They're right. It doesn't. Because how the process works is you have DNA through an enzyme called reverse transcriptase. It makes a mirror copy of it called messenger RNA, which is what gets injected into your body. That messenger RNA, it goes through a system called the ribosomes and creates a protein. That protein can get reincorporated into your DNA by a process called transfection. So there isn't, so the messenger RNA can indirectly change your DNA, your genetics, but not directly. And I think it's language is important.
Yeah, language is important. Language is important, but I wouldn't want anything indirectly changing my DNA either.
And they don't know the long-term side effects of these things. And
no.
This is where this doctor, who is also one that has worked with vaccines quite a bit, she was pointing out that this can make you more vulnerable to autoimmune problems down the line. And again, you see, they don't know the ramifications. I know in the future, when people take the mark of the beast, whatever they put in their skin, under their skin, what have you, those that take it end up getting boils all over their body. And so it's like, okay, well, I'm sure they didn't see that coming.
No, they didn't see it coming, but it's kind of like a preparation, isn't it? That they've managed to convince people. Now, I don't tell people whether to take the vaccine or not. That's up to you. But I'm just telling you what I know. And so It hasn't been tested. It wasn't tested long enough to find out what the side effects are. And this mRNA is a new technology. It's never been used before, as far as I know, where it's not even really a vaccine. Usually a vaccine, they put the toxin or whatever it is in the vaccine and they give it to you so you can learn how to fight it off. But this is something different. It sends a message. It sends a message to your cells. And I think it also has nanoparticles. It's made from nanoparticles, which can be dangerous too. So it's very, very strange.
Well, and knowing that the New World Order wants to eliminate a huge portion of the population, I don't trust anything they're pushing.
No, I don't trust anything they're pushing. They've been trying to do this for years, because I remember before I got saved, and I grew up north where it was densely populated. So when they used to talk about overpopulation, I believed it because it was overpopulated where I lived. And I got in my car one day and I drove out to Denver, and I'm driving. As soon as I get to Denver and I see these massive mountains, and then I leave Denver and I go into the rest of Colorado and I see all this wide open spaces. And then I go to Arizona and I go to Utah and I see all these wide open spaces. And I say, they were lying to me. They were trying to get rid of people back then because of overpopulation. So now they're purposely overpopulating our country.
They want to level the playing field so that we can't be a first world country anymore, really.
Exactly.
You know?
But yeah, they're doing that. They're going to do that because people aren't going to go back to work, and they'll probably extend these unemployment benefits, and then they're going to tell you how many hamburgers you can have.
Then they're putting paratroopers in high heels and lace on the battlefield.
Yeah. And not only that, they're making it more attractive for these people to join the military because they're going to give them the sex change surgery for free.
Crazy new normal.
Yeah, crazy new normal. You couldn't write it down probably 10 years ago. You couldn't write it down because you wouldn't have believed it if you saw it.
And I know everybody should watch the movie Idiocracy, because that's what they're trying to build.
Yeah, and
Have you seen Idiocracy?
No.
It's an old movie that just shows a dumb guy going into the future, and he was the dumbest guy in the present, but in the future he's the smartest guy on the planet, even though he was the dumbest dude in, you know, let's say in the 20th century, and he got shot up 100 years and he became the smartest one. And the whole thing had so many comedy ins and outs to it because of him having to be the president, because they figured he was the smartest guy on the planet when he was the dumbest dude here. And it's just so true.
Kind of see that happening.
I know. It's scary how true that can be.
As far as leadership goes, you wonder, but where did these people come from? Thank God I know Jesus, and I have the wisdom of God. I have his word. I can think straight. I can think clearly. I can discern the times. And I think this is what happens to somebody that spends all their life and gets to be 70, in their 70s, and they don't know Jesus. And you see what happens to their mind? They're crazy. They're crazy people. And then you have these crazy people running governments now.
Guy who can't even finish a sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. But people are buying it. And that's the thing that is amazing, is that people are buying it and they're shaking amen to it and whatever. So you could say, I just say, God, just protect me and let me keep my sanity. Don't let me be deceived. Keep me strong. No matter what, who criticizes what I do or who doesn't like what I do, I know I have a mandate from God. I can say I have a mandate from God to preach the gospel and to tell people the truth as much as I can, as long as I live. So I'll not be moved. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. So no matter what, all these crazy things that are going on, and we see all these things that we never thought we were going to see before, that we have to be aware and just make sure that we don't fall for the devil's trap to try to separate the body of Christ. Because that, let me play this last clip, Jackie, before we close, because I think this is important, this last clip from Lance Wolnow, because he was saying that about people breaking off from other people.
That's right.
But, oh dear. No, I don't want to leave. It's telling me to leave the site. What is going on here? But that's the thing, is they're pushing this whole unity thing. Don't be afraid to separate yourself from the heretics, no matter what anybody tells you. Here, this is a short clip.
But I'm working right now to say, what has the church got to do? And I'm convinced that between now and the midterms, we are in the survival of the nation test, and that the real test is in the church itself. I really believe the humility test is whether or not we can overcome the tripwires of pride and arrogance and division. I ran into James Robeson today, great evangelist. James Robeson is a spiritual father. I didn't know he was a spiritual father to Mike Huckabee and various other ones. He was like 77 years old. And we were talking, and he was talking, I think, to John MacArthur or something. And MacArthur said, well, the church is like the valley of dry bones, you know, disconnected. And James said, no, it's not the valley of dry bones. It's the valley of amputated body parts, because the spirit of divorce is in the church. When we don't agree with someone, we cut them off. In our pride, we amputate them. We think we can live without them, and we sever them from our world. He said, and this anger and willingness to sever the body actually cuts off the flow of the anointing into our own body.
See, that's the big push in the evangelical church, is this unification, unifying with Catholics. And again, they go after, Calvary Chapel pastors are being pursued by the NAR guys, such as Lance Wolnow. Again, the man you just heard, he wrote the book, The Seven Mountain Mandate. And so he's seeing that we have to all come together, anyone that names the name of Christ, that we all have to play our part in taking back the nation and all of this kind of stuff. And of course, their guy, their lead man is the former President Trump. And he had them going for a while. They were all getting excited. This was going to be the latter rain. This was going to be the time that they were going to take dominion. And then it all blew up in their faces.
Yeah.
And that was quite a disappointment. But you see, here's someone like James Robeson is one of those guys that, you know, he's a Pentecostal Baptist, I guess you could say, but he's bringing in, Huckabee, I guess now he says, you know, Lance is saying that James Robeson is Huckabee's mentor, and yet
yeah.
James Robeson is the one that I've played a clip of him saying, when he looks into the eyes of Pope Francis, he sees Jesus. But as
yeah.
I mentioned to you, we were saying that since the Pope has really gone on way far on the left, you don't hear much about him on Robeson's show. Though I did look at Robeson's show, and he still has Roman Catholics on. He co-wrote a book with Catholics. So he's trying to be a bridge to Catholics and Protestants and evangelicals and everybody. And so, of course, they need to unite over their common enemy. So they go after John MacArthur. Lance Wolnow said he wants to get Jack Hibbs on his show, you know, Calvary Chapel pastor. So they're all trying to link all people together, and those who won't go along with it, you guys are the sinners. If you don't lower your standards and enter into this to this uprising to take over the country, along with them, which isn't our assignment by Jesus, by the way, then you're part of the problem and you're in sin.
Well, the thing is, I would happily meet with Lance Wall now, but I'm going to discuss what I think I see as error, and I won't hold back. I'm not going to be kumbayaing with him. And so,
I wish he'd invite me on. You bet.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. He wants to talk about amputating someone you don't agree with. No, I will discuss things with you if you want to. I'm happy to discuss things with you. No, they wouldn't come near us.
Yeah, you know, many years ago, I had email, I guess, back then. It was even before the internet. I had an email debate battle with Lance.
Oh.
Yeah, back when he was a younger man. And
well,
I was trying
to... to take you on again. If he remembers you.
I doubt he remembers me. But that was way before he wrote that book. But he was doing some teaching that I took issue with. And so I wrote him and he really engaged me. Well, we didn't speak. We just went back and forth on, I can't remember if it was in a chat room or on email. In fact, and it would have been in one of those really old computers. So I don't think I saved it.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
I know. But,
I wonder
how he
treated you. Like, was he willing to cut you
off?
Well,
He took issue, but he wasn't rude. Also, I don't know, and I wish I could find this tape, but back in the 90s when the Holy Laughter thing started, my husband and I were on a radio show discussing the Holy Laughter movement with Sid Roth. And it was not Sid's show, it was a radio show. Oh. We were told we were coming on to talk about it, and then the host, without telling us, said, "We're bringing in Sid Roth." I didn't know who he was. And he just says, "Oh, you know, he just takes issue. He wants to hear the other side. And he's a Jewish evangelist. He's a Christian Jewish evangelist. He's really a nice guy." But boy, did we take issue with Sid Roth. And I wish I still had that.
Yeah, I wish you had that one. That would have been good. But. Yeah, I don't think they would do that now. I seriously doubt.
No,
I would like to challenge him with, okay, so you don't want a divorce from me, then let's talk publicly, not behind closed doors. Let's have a debate and see if they'll do it. I doubt seriously that they would do it.
Hey, if somebody gets this over to Lance Wall and they'll say, hey, we'll happily have him on the show, right, Susan?
Oh, yeah, he can come on. Yeah, that's right. And nothing's off limits. Nothing's off limits. We'll talk. Let's talk. But yeah, because we have to have sound doctrine. You can't just kumbaya with everybody, and then we don't preach the gospel in a sound way. It has to be preached the way it's written, not the way you want it to be written. And that's important, because that's how you build good, strong people with sound minds, is through the Word of God. So. Anyway, that's our program for today. And yes, anybody that wants to take us on, any of the people that say that don't amputate the body and you don't, you talk about us and then you don't come to us personally, we'll talk to you anytime, any place, publicly.
Sure,
about
in fact,
doctrine.
You know, maybe Huckabee wants to have us on his show on TBN.
No, that would never happen.
Hey, as long as we're free to speak, let's go, Susan.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They don't. I used to be able to go on, but this was in the late 1990s. I used to go on to the local Christian television network there, and I had a friend there, so he would let me speak freely. And then they stopped having me. That was the end of that. They would never have
right.
me again.
Oh, that will be the end once you do that. That's okay.
And they started doing those telethons with the seed face thing and all that. So, no, they didn't want anything to do with me. And so that's the thing. It's been a long time since anybody's invited me to talk outside of my own platforms that I have. But that's okay, because I'm free, and I like being free. I don't want to play politics when it comes to God's word and when it comes to people's lives. We're not politicians. They're politicians. And that doesn't bode well for anyone, really, you know, to be popular and to play politics with people's eternal destinies. But anyway, Jackie, tell people how they can find you if they want to find you.
Well, look me up on ChristianSentinel.com, and you can even just Google my name and it'll take you to Christian Sentinel, or find me on Facebook. And a lot of these videos, as I said earlier, when Susan was cut off, that I've posted those to the webpage. And when this comes out, I'll try to remember to post in those links so you can hear those or you watch those videos that we played earlier.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Amen. So thank you for coming on. It was a good debate here. And we'll have you back. Jackie comes on at least once a month. I'm glad she does, because it's always interesting. We always have something different that we could talk about when you have somebody, when you have 80 years experience here.
Yeah, well, it's always my pleasure, Susan. We always have great discussion. It's better than talking by myself.
Yeah, it is. It is. I enjoy having guests, especially guests that have a wealth of knowledge about so many different topics. When somebody's done 10, 20, 30 years of research, then they have something to say that can benefit people that don't have the time to do the kind of research that Jackie's been doing most of her Christian life. So we're thankful for her. Anyway, thanks, Jackie. We'll be talking. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, that's our show for today. And I want to just remind you of the most important thing today. No matter what's going on in the world, we have a Savior, hallelujah, who saves us and redeems us. And he will redeem our life from all destruction. So look unto Jesus today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to come into your life. You say, oh, the world's so crazy. How can I make it? You can't make it without God. You can't make it without putting your faith and your trust in someone that's more powerful than you, someone who has all the answers, because we know we don't. We know we don't have all the answers, but Jesus does. And Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And Romans 10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to give you a brand new life. Only he can do it, and he will do it if you ask him. Hallelujah. Thanks, everybody, in the chat room today. And our sister Shannon told us that her relative did accept the Lord, the one who has a terminal disease, and we're thankful for that. Thank you for your prayers, and keep praying. Bye, Shannon and Rick. Thanks for stopping by today, and all my listeners. God bless you.